Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion, Sister Ashley here. Give me a sound check, please, if you can hear me well. Type 10s in the chat rooms. Welcome to each and every one of you who are faithful weekly, and welcome to anyone who is new. We're going to hold the phone calls, as we've been doing lately each week, to the very end, so that you may glean anything that we have to say early on in the show. Hopefully, all of you can glean something for your spirit and be edified. Sister Jennifer there in Georgia, give me a sound check, please. Talk to me.
Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all. Thank you so much for tuning in again to another episode of Sister to Sister. And it's such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you again. And I pray that I've given enough time for you to give me a sound check, and I pray you all can hear me.
All right, I'm looking for them. I see some tens. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I acknowledge first and foremost all honor to our Father who has gathered us into His way, not my way, not your way, right? His straight way. And that before we were not a people, That's what always amazes me. I would have never known any of you, nor would I have known the people that I live with every day of my life if it weren't for him, because now we are made a people through accepting his calling. Honor also belongs to Deacon Bell, my covenant keeper. Thank you, Deacon, for all your selflessness and your example. Great honor also belongs to Pastor Dow, who has spent his only life that he has to live on earth feeding the sheep of Yah. Might I add, with every force of hell against him, even the hell in some of you. Sister Jennifer, anyone to acknowledge tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his truth that sets free, for the sacrifice given to us through the blood of Yeshua that makes it possible for us to truly live a life without sin and to finally understand true repentance. I'd like to acknowledge our elder here, Elder Rufus, our leader here on the community in Georgia, for the guidance that he gives, the work that he puts in, and for always having Israel on his mind before himself. I want to acknowledge our leader, Pastor Dow, for the sacrifice that he puts in daily for Israel. And I just also want to take this time to thank him so much for the videos that's been going forward, the marriage series videos that we can truly all watch and learn from. It's been a blessing and an honor, you know, for Pastor Dow to share that information with all of us. So if you have not already seen those, if you haven't tuned in, I suggest you go onto YouTube, onto Pastor Dow's website on YouTube and watch those videos. There's so much information on there. And also there's a video, a Straightway Creations video, and it's giving information about the products that Sister Carol makes. So please go on there and watch that video. Very informative, and that's all I have.
Hallelujah. All honor to the Father that we are gathered again tonight for another show. Please put your tens in the chat room anytime that you can hear me well, or let me know if I drop at all. Okay, I'll keep my microphone volume up, and let's roll. I want to say, remember to subscribe to Pastor's second YouTube channel. He put a video out, Straightway University it is. He's going to put his religious perspectives, he said, and just a few other things on that channel. So if you haven't done so, go ahead and subscribe to both, because you're going to want to have that immediate notification and stay in tune with us and follow us as you already are. Order your products from straightwaycreations.com. Everything natural, everything worth the price, and made by Mother Carol, with the exception of a few products. Check out Pastor and Mother Carol's products video on the Pastor Dow channel. Also like to acknowledge Sister Allison's Ally Max pads. If you're interested, check out the YouTube video called Ally Max Pads, as well as acknowledging tonight Straightway Texas, specifically Sister Candace and Sister Erica, for their Herbs of the Field. So learn more on their channel as well about their tinctures and Herbs of the Field. These are women who are putting their hands to many works and are prospering and not having idle hands. I wanted to say, for the most of you, we have a lot of listeners who have never been here, and we often have to go back and try to bring us all into one mind. We're going to do that tonight, maybe possibly repeating some of the things we've said in the past, but it can still be new to you. It's all in the hearing. But you see Pastor, and he's at the forefront, and he's the visual image running this ministry. He's our leader, and he's our shepherd, so he plays a very important key role that we can't replace. Only the Father could do that. So he's very, very special. And he often sends his love and acknowledgments openly through his videos to the sheep of his flock. And in specifically, I'm referring to those who follow him very closely and support him, the seal of his pastorship here on Straightway soil. I noticed in the past couple of days, yesterday and today, we've had more calls of individuals desiring to live here. You know, it's very easy to, you come across this man, these people, you see something you aspire to do, and so you pick up the phone and you say, hey, I want to be a part of it. Can I live there? You know, so by no means are we mocking, but it's very premature to see a video or see a man and believe that you can endure with us or suffer with us. So you being a part of us, tonight we're going to answer some questions about us as a people. And us meaning you should be able to fit into this selflessness that we're going to talk about tonight. What is selflessness? You know, that's going to be answered hopefully. And why can't just anyone live here? Isn't that important to know? Because it's actually not rejecting at all. But why can't anyone just live here? Right? So we have an awesome support team, as Pastor has acknowledged, helpers one to another in the fear of Yah. So it's a very special unit that we have, a very peaceful soil and clean land that we live on. Our conversations are godly continually. Our convictions, our vows to the Father, they keep us in love with one another. And there will be no other place on earth that achieves the unity and peace that we achieve except the Father bless and anoint that land as he has this one. So this is a very special thing going on. It is a miracle. It is a wonder. It is a light for the Gentiles to see, because there is no other camp or religion that puts their faith in action as we do. Okay, so I wanted to say that first and foremost, because tonight we're talking about Straightway, but we also want to obviously connect with you and talk about you. So let's bring everyone into one mind, okay? As I said earlier, it's important that Sister Jennifer and I revisit things to express to new listeners the mind and the spirit that we follow. And I think I've said that enough, but at this point, no matter how long you've been listening, even if this is your first show, you've seen Pastor Dow's videos, you've seen something that grasps your attention and your spirit. And at this point, you should all realize that you are a bought and paid for, redeemed, gathered from the Gentile soul that wandered in the darkness without direction, without law, without opportunity to be made whole until now. You had eyes you didn't see, right? You had ears you didn't hear until now. So you are now unlearning, as Paul says. So this ministry is simply a large body of spirit-filled brothers and sisters that strive to attain one goal, obedience, submission, and order, obviously, but the one goal is the kingdom of Yah. And to have our piece of that kingdom here on this earth, preparing us for the kingdom to come. So while you're striving with us, and we're going to tonight make distinctions on who's with us and who isn't. We're going to answer that too. While striving, it is imperative. Sister Toma, that means very important. Top priority. She always smiles when I break things down that she makes. She says, white European words, I tell you. So my Liberian sister, imperative, important, priority, okay? While striving, it is imperative that you rid yourselves of any reflection of this world. It is imperative that you submit yourselves one to another in the fear of Yah. It is also imperative that you run this race with patience, while knowing what? That our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And most importantly, here's the key. This is what separates saints and ain'ts. You must die to your own will. Okay, so pastor is the man behind the mission. He prays, he fasts, he studies, he feeds, he works, he mentors, etc., etc. So that you, every single one of you, can reap the benefit of his labors. Worthy of his hire, for sure. So he being an example before us, living a completely selfless life. I really wish you could just spend a day, a fly on the wall with Pastor Dow to see what I see, or see what Mother Carol sees in him, or see what anyone who is close to him sees. He lives a completely selfless life. So what's that like? I hope tonight that you're going to get a better understanding so that you may too join in selflessness. Pastor states, if this wasn't the way, I wouldn't be doing it. And that's very powerful because of his passion and his zeal towards doing it. So if this wasn't the way, I wouldn't be doing it either, Pastor. Right? And you wouldn't be either. We would not be wasting our time. And we are not wasting our time. So believe me, sisters, it is easier to live according to your lust and your will, what you want, your desires. Put you first. That's easy. That's easier than it is to conform to the will of the Father. And everybody wants to know, what's the will of the Father? Because his will directly opposes your will. It is imperative that you live a selfless life if you want to be closer to our Creator. So, Sister Jennifer, with that said, any openings from you or maybe any questions that you know will be answered from tonight's show?
Yes, ma'am. I know that some of you may not understand or fully know what it truly means to follow the ministry. You know, you hear that you need to make sure you follow the ministry, but you may not really fully understand how to do that. So we will go over that tonight, and we'll have some questions that you can actually ask yourself. And, you know, you can ask yourself and you can kind of balance your life compared to the life that you see when you go to the land. You know, you'll ask yourself, am I living this way? Am I doing this? And that will kind of be your barometer. Also, you may want to know, why is it important that I make myself known? So we'll go over that a little bit as well. And, you know, you may want to know, what does it look like, you know, to truly serve? What does true service really look like? So these are things that I see when I go to the land, Straightway Tennessee, and I always take something back with me in the form of, you know, how I can better serve Yah's people. So we'll just go over that tonight, and I believe we can all learn something from that.
Hallelujah. Let's reflect on another Amenah, yeah, just to open up. Let's check out Acts chapter 3. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you basically what's going on in Acts chapter 13. Forgive me, 13, not 3. So Paul stands up, and he's in front of a listening audience, and he gets their attention with his hand. You know, whatever hand motion he says, Acts chapter 13, he's saying, men of Israel, all that fear Yah, you need to listen to what I have to say. Okay. Well, what do you have to say, Paul, sir? He says, the Elohim of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted this people when they were merely strangers in a land of Egypt. He brought them out. And by Paul saying that, he's also saying they didn't bring themselves out. And if you know the stories, we couldn't. The Hebrews could not free themselves. This was the Father behind it all. This was his will. After 40 years, Paul says, he suffered their manners in the wilderness. He suffered, Paul? Sir, I thought they suffered. Well, actually, I understand your selfish perspective, sister, but let's consider this. What else did you have to say in Acts chapter 13, Paul? Yahweh destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan. He divided all those lands by lot, assigned his people to those lands, and after this, he gave them judges. 450 years of judges, and this endured until Samuel the prophet. So Israel said, we want a king, we want a king, give us a king. It's, you know, it's all about us, give us a king. So Yah gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man from the tribe of Benjamin. This lasted 40 years. And when Yah removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king. Yahweh's testimony of David was, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So this man in sinful flesh will fulfill all of Yahweh's will, being a man after his own heart. Now, the only other time that is stated is when what? Jeremiah 3:15, when a pastor is given according to Yah's heart, which too would fulfill all the will of the Father. So stop. A man, really, think about that, will fulfill all of Yah's will? Can't Yah do it without him? Sure. But that's not how he has it set up. So how is he going to fulfill all of Yah's will? In Acts 13:36, he says for David, after he had, here's the key, served his own generation by the will of Yah, fell asleep, laid into his father's, saw corruption. Basically, he died. But what did David do again? He served his own generation. Keyword, served. That must be in your heart if you're a part of the Straightway Ministry. It cannot be about you. So David fulfilled the will of Yah by serving his generation. I'm going to you, Sister Jennifer. Would it not be true, I have two thoughts, that we can fulfill the will of Yah by serving? That's thought number one. Wouldn't that be true that we can fulfill the will of Yah just by simply serving? And if so, this would mean becoming selfless. So answer me, what is a selfless life?
Yeah, I want to answer the first question first, about fulfilling the will of Yah by serving. It truly depends on the intent or the motive of your heart. If Yah is first and foremost in your thoughts and in everything that you do is committed to him, like it was with David, through your service, then his will be fulfilled. But if my intent is wicked and I do things in the wrong spirit and I serve half-heartedly, I will never truly fulfill the will of Yah while operating or serving in a selfish manner. So it's really about the motive and the intent of the heart. When you serve selflessly, you give up your own will, you give up your own expectations, your own desires, so that you can actually serve someone else. In the world, we are taught, what's in it for me. And everything that we do, we are told that, our motivation for doing anything for anybody else, it has to be rewarded right here on this earth, or we simply just don't have to do it. It just won't be in your best interest to do it. But Hebrew culture calls us to put others before ourselves without looking for a reward on this earth. So David had Yah first and foremost in his heart and in his mind in serving. So the will of Yah definitely was completed in his life because his intent and his heart was in the right place.
And not catering to your own selfishness would also be living a selfless life, doing things contrary to the flesh's nature. Your flesh, your fleshly carnal nature is opposition to Yahweh. It is selfish, self-exalting, self-ambitions, all those things. So doing things contrary to that fleshly nature, and oftentimes it would be without understanding. Because as you formulate questions of doubt or wondering, should I do this or why am I doing that or I'm being led this way, you often don't have the understanding, especially initially or early on. You just need faith. You just need to follow. You just need to listen. Hear. Set yourself apart. Listen to Pastor Dow, just using that for an example. But giving of your own will, dying to your own emotions, what other ministry teaches that like Pastor teaches us, dying to your own will? Because that is that's the gospel of the Messiah, or many of his teachings, right? So going back to the law, I'm going to read three different laws, Leviticus 1:3, Leviticus 19:5, and Leviticus 22:29. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. That's Leviticus 1:3. Leviticus 19:5, if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto Yahweh, you shall offer it of your own will. Leviticus 22:29, when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yahweh, offer it of your own will. So this is a will that is in line with the Father. You offer a burnt sacrifice, do it voluntarily. Offer a sacrifice of peace, do it of your own will. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, do it of your own will. So, Jennifer, these examples prove a person's free will can be obedient and lined up with the Father's will. But before I proceed forth, what comes to mind?
You know, when you say, when you're looking at that at your own will, when you look behind that particular term, again, it reflects the condition of your heart. You should not only have an offering, but you should have pleasure or delight or a desire within yourself when offering it up, meaning that you're not doing it just because you're told to, but you actually desire to do it in a cheerful manner. So again, it's a condition of the heart. It's the intent that is within your heart.
So at this point, if you're following the ministry, you should have a cheerfulness about you, a yearning desire to grow as we grow and run and strive with us in this race. So your heart's intent can be in check at this point. Are you giving to the Father's work? Are you praying for the Father's work? Are you in line with the mission? Are you cheerful that you have found this place and all that it offers you? So Jesus knows all about being selfless, denying his own will on earth for you. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing, Yeshua says. He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. So he says, I can of my own self do nothing. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking of his selflessness, not to do my own will. But Jesus, you know, I can of my own self do something. I can do a lot of things. So why would you say of your own self you can do nothing and that you seek not your own will? Why would the Father say that? Well, in Ezekiel, let's just look at this for an example. Ezekiel 11:19-21. Ezekiel 11:19-20, I'll read like this. And I will give them one heart. Who? Us. You, me, if we have one heart, we are partaker of this right here. I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. They shall be my people. I will be their Yah. Another check for you if you're following this ministry, right there. You should be having a new heart, a new spirit, removing the stony heart, having a heart of flesh, walking in his statutes, keeping his ordinances, his commandments, following us wholeheartedly, not serving half-heartedly, like Sister Jennifer mentioned. But in the very next verse, this is the dual, the difference of two mannerisms. So you have the obedience stated in verse 19 and 20. Let's read 21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads. So my will is detestable? Is that what you're saying? Father, it can be an abomination? Jennifer, what do you think about my will having the potential to be detestable? You know, I'm an Israelite, for example. I may have the testimony of I'm an Israelite, I'm a bloodline descendant, I'm straight from black soil, straight from the land. You know, I'm pleasing to Yahweh. I'm walking with him. I'm following his will. How can you tell me my will can be detestable? Give me an example.
You know, we've heard a lot about, and we've talked a lot about assimilating. And in this journey, our lives here on this earth, the goal is to assimilate to our maker, meaning that you obtain a likeness or a similarity of the one who created you. And, you know, if you're married, you have a direct connection through your husband, and you strive to assimilate to him as he follows the Most High. So my will can actually be detestable when I refuse to stop operating in the idol of self. So refusing to give up my own selfish desires, refusing to give up my selfish mindsets, and refusing to just completely and totally change my mind to the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ would serve others truly with joy. You know, the mind of Christ would put away the cares of this world and would be willing to give all and to follow him. So, you know, remember we talked about last week in Ezekiel 16, the Most High said that we became contrary, meaning that we were not assimilated. And that is what it really means to be detestable through our own will being manifested.
Very good. The scriptures teach us about our reputation as a people of doing what is right in our own eyes. The majority of you listening, at somewhere, some point in your life, you are doing what is right in your own eyes. That's why it's important to follow closely, unlearn, repent when necessary. So let's give an example of a detestable will in opposition to the Father in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 44:17, stay with me. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we, our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah. Sounds like justification, right? And in the streets of Jerusalem. Whatsoever these things go forth out of our own mouth, we will do. And the end of it says, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well, and we saw no evil. So what we're doing is working for us. We saw no evil. All was well with us. Very similar to Christianity. Everything can seem well when you're following a tradition. My father did it. His father. Her grandmother. So continuing in tradition, as this verse even attests to, can actually appear to be Yah's will because they saw no evil. Jennifer, any thoughts on appearance of being in the will of the Father by continuing in tradition of man?
Yes, ma'am. You know, to some it may seem like the Father's will to just follow simple traditions. And, you know, we were raised in traditions of men, and those are the things that are really comfortable to our flesh. Those are the things that can make our flesh feel good, because if you follow those traditions, you automatically get the approval of men. So following truth is uncomfortable because it challenges, you know, what you've been accustomed to. There are things that we do now that we're in the faith, you know, that is tradition, but it's out of obedience to the Most High. And because we have a love for his law and his statutes and commandments, we're not just demonstrating a form of godliness, as is in the case of merely following the traditions of men. An elder says this all the time, that sometimes you have people who will follow every single tradition, every single religious tradition, but when it comes to just the true obedience and the true contrition of the heart, those are the things that they miss out on. So it's not enough to just follow tradition. You know, if you don't have the contrition in your heart, then you will fail.
Yes, ma'am. I want to share with you Paul's mentoring words in Ephesians. You can check behind me in chapter 1 of Ephesians. We don't have to go there and read, but he greets the church of Ephesus with grace and peace in the beginning, right, from Yeshua. He says, blessed be the Elohim of Yeshua who has blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. This creator chose us before the foundation of the world. Paul, sir, why? Why me? Well, he answers, so that you could and should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestined you and adopted you like children, according to the good pleasure of his will. I got the thought. I got to share it. Paul, are you speaking of his perfect will or his permissive will? Daughter, his will is a mystery to you. You speak as a fool. Okay? So Paul proceeds. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. So Paul says, he hath made us accepted in the beloved by redeeming us through his blood, forgiving our sins according to the riches of his grace. He abounds with us. Look that up. It means suffers us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us what? The mystery of his will. His will is according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed to himself, not for our sake. So, Paul, sir, could it be that I may never understand Yah's will for me? Yes, daughter. If you don't humble yourself, submit yourself, walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the works of the flesh, you will not understand Yah's will for you. You will not. So he goes on, we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose, not your own will or your own purpose. Remember that. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing goes forth without his wisdom, his prudence, his purpose, his counsel, his will, nothing. He's sovereign to Israel. So what if you're still confused? You know, what's his will for me? Let's even go to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. He says, when the good man of the house, this is a story in Matthew 20, but when the good man of the house desires to give each laborer the same pay, one man rose up and said, hey, these last hired laborers, they've only worked 1 hour. How are you going to give them the same pay as me? You know, not your will be done, good man, but my will be done. How are they going to get the same pay? And Yeshua answers him back and says, friend, I don't do you any wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? And right there at that point, it proves to you, listener, whoever you are out there on the other end, you committed. You committed. You said yes. You said amen to the truth. And I got to reflect on marriage for a moment, because as we proceed forth in a marriage understanding, an understanding of a true covenant with the Father and with our husbands, the question has come up even last week in the show, going forward with Mother Carol's testimony and what and the examples Pastor's using. What is your commitment? What is your commitment to the Father? What is your commitment to your husband? It can't be an imbalance. You can't be completely committed to the Father as long as conditionally, Father, everything lines up with what I desire. Then I'll love my husband if he changes, or whatever your mind may say. So he's saying, friend, I don't do you any wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? You agreed. Why would you question me about who and what and why I'm paying? And he says, take what is yours, go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. You're all going to get the same. Is it not lawful, he says, for me to do what I will with my own? And see, that's the issue in some of you. It's just a lack of understanding and not understanding that you are bought and paid for possession, that your life is actually not your own. If you don't understand what that means, then you have not died enough. Okay? So the Messiah is saying, is your eye evil? He's talking to this man that's questioning him about how he's going to pay his servants. Is your eye evil because I'm good? Basically, I'm good. But because your eye is evil, you're considering me as such. So don't look at Yeshua, his way, his perfect will, his community desire, his set apart people on this soil, this land. Don't look at the man of Yah. Don't question the Messiah and his will, because his will is going forth. It is you that has the evil eye. It is you that has and develops the questions that oppose how things run with Yah's people. So yes, Father, it is lawful for you to do whatever you want. You may say that. If you want to uproot them from the city, Father, put them in the country, you can, Father. Isn't that right? He can do that. If you want to give them your spirit, take away the stony heart, give them a heart of flesh, you can do that, Father. If you want your pastor to be according to your heart and not mine, you can do that, Father. So with that all said, and knowing the Father's will, we have to step aside, step back, have no expectations of what we believe anything should be like, and move forward individually, although collectively as a unit. But it seems like, Jennifer, we have more changes to make. It seems like we have examples to follow to help us fit into Yah's will for us. So we have examples set before us, whether pastor, elder, brother, sister. We have all these examples, but because it's still the in-warrings, the fightings, and the divisions, what's the confusion, Jennifer?
You know, without full commitment in your heart to do Yah's work, no matter what, you'll easily develop a murmuring and a complaining spirit, just like what we talked about in Matthew 20. The people started murmuring and complaining. Your submission is based on your own terms, basically, when that happens. You know, I'll work hard if no one gets treated better than me, or I'll work hard in the heat of the day if I get paid more because it's only fair. And so we hold on to our own will, and we have our own ideas of what we think, quote unquote, fair is. It's like when you first enter into a covenant, you know, sometimes you make the mistake of having your own expectations on how your marriage should be walked out. And as your husband leads you, and as truth is discovered, and he starts leading in a different way than what you expected in the beginning, you end up bitter because, you know, your own will has caused you to stumble through, has caused you to stumble as opposed to what you've expected, pretty much. So instead of just trusting your master to lead you correctly, you're stuck on what your expectation was in the beginning. So just trust that he will lead you properly. You know, trust that he is a man of honor and a man of integrity. And don't go into it with your own expectations.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring Paul back up. I like using him as an example tonight because he was so selfless. You know, talking about chapter 8 in 2 Corinthians. Okay, you can go check me later, but I'm going to share with you kind of what went down in this story. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about another people. So he's talking to the Corinthians about the Macedonians. So in this chapter, Paul is saying to the assembly, let's say he's talking about Straightway, home base, just for example. So he's talking to the Corinthians about Straightway. Okay, this is going to make a lot of sense. Follow me. Listen close as you can. Okay? So Paul is talking to Corinthians about Straightway, and he says, in great trial of affliction, their joy and their poverty increases and abounds and goes beyond the riches of their liberality. What does that mean? Checking out the word liberality. Remember, reflecting on Straightway. Let's just say Paul's talking about Straightway, though we know he's talking about Macedonians. Liberality means what they go through without dissimulation or self-seeking. Meaning generosity, meaning singleness, and meaning simplicity. This people is going through all of this without self-seeking. That's us for sure. I'm going to tell you for a certainty. that is us. So Paul continues by stating, remember, let's just say he's talking about straightway. He says, I bear record that they were willing of themselves to pray that you would receive the gift and have taken upon themselves the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And I interject, sisters, that even that is a gift for you. That what we would have can be shared and given to you through fellowship, through ministry. But you got to be teachable. Paul says, they did first give of their own selves to Yahweh. He says, even unto me, which is Paul, but basically giving of themselves first to the leaders of the will of Yah. Paul says, I desired Titus that what he began, he would also finish. So let's flip it and go, hey, whatever pastor has begun, I pray he also finish. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, going back to it, let's start at verse 7 in my own words. As you grow in everything, as you grow in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, grow in your love to us. Who? Straightway. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace, Paul, sir? Well, to prove the sincerity of your love. Remember, your love is in question because years of Straightway's love has measured up and reaped the blessings of the Father. So when you come on board, it's not a differentiation of, let me get to it, because it's not a great lack that you have. It's just a need that can be met. There's a difference in what I just said. So to prove the sincerity of your love, don't you know the grace of our Master Yeshua Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you would be made rich? Paul says, so I give you my advice, and let this be expedient for you. And in that context, he's saying, let this be an advantage that you have. You know, let me give you my advice so that it may be an advantage to you. What is it, Paul, sir? To perform. That's what Paul says, to perform, having a readiness of your own will. I'm saying you should have a performance effect outwardly, expressing what you have internally going on. Listener, sister, friend, daughter. So if there be, Paul says, first, a willing mind. You accept a man for what he has, not what he doesn't have. Okay? Remember, he's talking to the Macedonians. So they had things going on, issues going on. But jumping back to Straightway's perspective, if he were talking about us, Paul states, I don't mean for some to be eased, like we're over here at ease, and you to be burdened, he says. Because what? Straightway's abundance, I put the Straightway in there, Straightway's abundance may be a supply for your want. And your abundance can be a supply for our wants. And Paul calls this equality. He ends it with, as it is written, he that has gathered a lot doesn't have anything over you, and he that has gathered little has no lack. That's contrary to the Western world, right? So although there's a separation or a differentiation or a different understanding, more wisdom, the elders are closer, whatever it may look like, it may even appear that we got it made and you're over here suffering. But that's not the case. Bringing it into what Paul calls equality, he that has gathered a lot, Straightway, doesn't have anything over you, and he that's gathered little, maybe you, has no lack. Why? Because, just as he said, your abundance can be a supply for our wants, our abundance can be a supply for your want. But I went into all this, I took this time for this explanation, to disprove, I had to go this route first, to disprove accusations that Straightway thinks themselves something and everyone lives here thinks themselves to be something. I've encountered this spirit on more than one occasion, and most of the time it's very under the radar in a face-to-face conversation, and the person that's speaking it has no idea that it's very penetrating. Their statements aren't going to be, "Sister Ashley, everyone here thinks themselves to be something, and we're out here nothing." No, it doesn't come across like that. But believe me, when that spirit exists, it's trying to cause a divide. But I had to explain this to disprove accusations that Straightway thinks himself something and that everybody else is nothing. Or I don't see eye to eye with everything Straightway does, but this, I like that. I follow him I subscribe because of that. See, all that's half-hearted. Even in the last, from what I ascertain, I do not know enough details, nor have I visited Chicago to Pastor Tatum and his fellowship. But what I can ascertain in our division and our breaking away from them is simply a differentiation between performance. Maybe they don't see everything eye to eye. Maybe whatever the reason is, and believe me, there's a reason. Y'all have heard it. I'm asking you, where's your performance? And hopefully, if our performance is in question to anyone out there, your performance should be above Straightways. If you are going to sit back and question us as a ministry, question pastor as a pastor, your character is immediately going to be questioned. Okay? So, Jennifer, with that said and that out of the way, speak on Straightway's example. Speak on Straightway's example to you, to Georgia Assembly, and why. Why should we talk about it? How you should, everyone out there should follow circumspectly, not because of our perfection in the flesh, like we're somebody. Got to go back to that thought. It's not we're somebody. Oh, I got the one up on you. I've been here longer. It's none of those things. It's simply because of our selflessness. Our repetitious year after year, day after day, selflessness, denying ourselves to serve and love one another, that allows the spirit and the power to flow through this place freely. Praise his name. So, Jennifer, talk to me about Straightway's example.
You know, one way to look at it when you first come into this ministry is that Straightway has the experience, and we simply don't. And it would just be totally retarded to think that we can have advice for people who have been living this lifestyle for years and years and years and years, you know, and we come in with this attitude of, well, we have stuff to offer and we're not going to listen to you. I mean, that thinking is so off. I really can't even explain that enough. But when we are told to follow the ministry, first and foremost, you have to have an understanding that this is the ministry that you commit to follow with all of your heart. You have to understand that the leader, Pastor Dow, has been chosen by the Most High Yah, and he follows the direction given to him by the Father. You commit in your heart to be fed by this ministry alone, and you don't just, you know, kind of go over here and stray away and eat off other tables and get information from here and then get information from this place and then just kind of come together and put everything together, because that just causes confusion. There's plenty of information being put out there through Straightway Truth Ministries. You know, you have the elders teaching on first day. You got scripture study on third day. You have sister to sister. You got Blog Talk Radio on Friday night, and then you got Shabbat service. So between those different broadcasts, you have plenty of information being put out for you to be fed with. Another aspect of following the ministry is you look at the discipline exhibited on a daily basis, the strive for righteousness, the holiness. If you watch the videos, you can see that, the order and the peace that they maintain. And you actually would strive for those exact same things in your own life without hypocrisy. So without hypocrisy would mean that you don't expect it from the saints who live on the land, and then you don't expect that out of your own self. So meaning that you would expect it from Straightway, but you don't expect it from yourself. You know, kind of using the excuse as, well, I'm new to this, so I don't really have to live holy. But when you go to the land, you're looking at everyone else with a magnifying glass just to see if they're doing everything to a T the way that you would expect, but you don't have that same expectation of yourself. Everyone, you know, talks about the peace on the land when they go to Straightway Tennessee and how loving the saints are, but ask yourself this question, you know, can I say the same thing about my own home? When people come to your home, when you have true saints that come to your home, do they talk about the peace that you have in your home? Do you have the same level of hospitality in your home? Do you know how to selflessly host or serve your guests? Are you ready and prepared to host the people of Yah at any given moment? You know, these saints, the ones who are in Straightway Tennessee on the land, they have given all from the beginning. They truly understand these questions fully, and they've lived them. More questions that you can ask yourself. You know, as women, we set the atmosphere in the home. So if you've sown contention within your own family, it will be evident in the atmosphere, the environment of your home. And on the other hand, if you sow peace, that will be evident as well. If you actually conduct Shabbat service in your home, if you have guests come in to fellowship with you on Shabbat, you should actually mirror the example that Straightway has put before you regarding the order of how things flow. You should be acquainted with deliverance, first and foremost, for yourself, and you should actually be able to help others with deliverance as well. They shouldn't have to wait to go to Straightway Tennessee just to get deliverance. So these are things that you should be learning yourself so that you can be a part of the ministry in that aspect. You can actually be a help, an asset to the ministry, and not a burden. So, you know, in short, we really shouldn't expect Straightway to do it all and not hold ourselves to that same accountability. And we're also told, you know, make yourself known. Make yourself known. And there's a reason behind that, you know, with some people who have fellowshipped with us in the past and who are no longer a part of us. For example, the situation that happened in Chicago with Pastor Tatum, you know, some people did not make themselves known, but Pastor Dow said, make sure that you make yourself known. And it's very important because, you know, the shepherd wants to keep track of the sheep, the people who are following. And you have sober people on the other end of the phone who will answer and who will guide you and who will give you direction that you need. For sisters, if you are just starting out in this ministry and you need someone who is sober in mind, then you need to call the Straightway Dining Hall and you need to ask, okay, who do I need to speak with that can help me? Who do I need to speak with? I need a really mature sister that can help me, instead of just, you know, kind of getting on the chat and, you know, finding out, you know, who do I mix well with on this chat, and then, you know, just kind of communicating with that person. You need somebody actually who can challenge you in your life. Sister Ashley, can you just please take them through the process? You know, what goes on in the process of, if someone calls a dining hall and they want to make themselves known, you know, what's the process in that? And maybe you can expound a little bit more on why that's important.
Okay. Making yourself known is not a personal inquiry into your life, allowing us to peer into how you live and what's your address or anything like that. So I hope that phrase is never taken out of context, making yourself known. Wouldn't you want me to give you a little bit of history or background about myself if I were coming to your home? like maybe how many of you would be coming, how long have you been listening, so we can kind of gauge where your spirit may be. If it's been a day or if it's been 6 years, you should still have somewhat of humility about yourself that you wouldn't mind someone questioning you, because this is your soul salvation. This is a place that for me, nothing was going to stop me from being here and fellowshipping with these people, whether I lived here or not. So making yourself known, once again, because we follow protocol and order here, it's actually respectful that we do that. It's not tyrannical or controlling that maybe Elder Becker or Pastor would need to call you back or, you know, ask you these things. It's simply because me being a woman and a sister, I don't want to know personal information from many, many different families. I don't want to know your, you know, how long you've been listening or your phone number or any of that. And with not just me not wanting to know, and the sisters being those who don't meddle in other people's matters, it's actually order for an elder or the pastor to reach out to you, because they are the only ones that trade the phone numbers. If I can use that, you know, wisely, Elder Becker would be able to say, oh, you're in Ohio? Okay, let me just, you know, let me reach out to Brother Jermaine. You know, let me hook you up with him, and we'll go from there. You know, if he receives you, you grow well, then sure, brother, you're welcome at the feast. You know, things like that. So there's some baby steps that's actually appropriate also because of the mass amount of haters that come this way. The mass amount of listeners, enemies. We do even, you know, we got the witches, the warlocks. We got it all, truly. The accusers, the false accusers, those who truly fathom everything they can in their satanic mind and put that label on the ministry and on the man of Yah. So him being a pastor, a father, a husband, being a personal individual walking on this earth, having to deal with this load, it's very important that we stay out of that. So that's our order here that you need to follow. If you've been here and you've made yourself known, we receive you. You know that through and through. We had a sister come last weekend that we have not seen or heard from in years, literally. So we have mercy on, hey, you know what? It takes a lot. You have to overcome a lot of voices just to come back to a place that you're hearing in your mind. Maybe they won't receive me. You know, maybe I'll be, you know, ignored. Maybe nobody will remember me. Whatever the enemy may put into this sister's mind, she was able to overcome to get here. So she was greeted with love. But she cannot expect, and she didn't, I'm just using that as an example. If you come here, you cannot expect us to greet you with open arms if you have not made yourself known, or if you pack everything you own into the back of your truck and you pull into our driveway. Please don't expect open arms. This is my yard. You almost ran over my child. You backed into my car. You know, all these personal, I'm just for humor, right? But because we deal with so many people, it's just you have to have an order. You have to, or it would be chaotic. Deacon needing to know who's coming because maybe he needs to put kerosene in your heater in the facility or the house that you're staying in. You know, we need to make sure you have a place with a ramp because you're handicapped. So you shouldn't be offended that we're asking questions that, oh, brother, you're handicapped. Okay, that's better than you pulling up. We had no idea. The only place we have in the land with a ramp that you can actually get into the home is taken because you didn't let me know that you needed this accessibility. And we're not people that sends everyone to the hotel. And even that is honorable. You know, what other church or assembly allows you to come to their home, right? So any more questions? Did I answer it correctly, Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, you did. You know, and I also wanted to point out to the sisters, you know, there should be no foolish talk that would potentially cause someone to stumble. If you have someone coming into your home, you need to really put that away from you. Anyway, it could cause someone to stumble or, you know, it may represent the ministry in a poor way. It's something that should not be taken lightly when you have someone who wants to fellowship in your home. Remain sober in your life and understand that these people are watching you to see if you're truly real or if you're just a hypocrite. So the time to get yourself in order is right now. Work on yourself right now. Work on your thoughts right now. Don't wait until the day of and then you're putting on a show, because that will truly be evident and it will be easy to figure it out.
And with that said, putting on a show, or I might add for your thoughts, of course, Sister Jennifer, don't fish for answers by asking questions that would keep you staying the way you are. You need to know your own heart and the intentions of the questions that you ask and the conversations that you engage in. You need to know yourself. But if you spend no time with the Father or with, you know, having a righteous conviction about yourself, what happens is, and this occurs here to me and to other sisters, there's questions that are asked laced with beliefs. Okay, you already have this belief system, and you come asking questions to support your belief system instead of wanting to tear it down. You can say, you know, I knew if I were here, it would be just like I thought. You know, he has got to be Pastor's favorite, and she's allowed everything, and this one over here is like avoided, like never talked to. You know, I don't know why my mind is going here, but you know that that's how the enemy works and tries to tear us down. If you are truly following us, don't listen to the voices that tear us down. Believe us for the very work's sake, the videos you watch, the things that are going forth. Don't be fishing for the accusing videos, trying to figure out, should I listen, should I follow, or is this man right? You know? I have an interesting questionnaire. Question. It was one question, all right? So with all that out of the way, and forgive me, Jennifer, let me go to you before I go to my question that I asked the sisters on the land. Anything for those who fish for answers to basically support the belief that they already have of us? Anything?
You know, it really takes a high level of maturity in your mind when you are interacting with other people. You really have to be sober, and don't be so quick to speak, or don't be so quick to just allow those thoughts to really just fly. You really have to be very mature in your mind, because if you don't check those evil negative thoughts, then those things are going to start coming out of your mouth sooner or later. So, again, be mature and sober in your mind.
Yes, ma'am. So I have asked every sister, this should be fun for each of you. This should literally get each of you edified in some way, okay? Because all of you are listening, claim to be affiliated, and it's important that you understand the spirit of the ministry, the mind of the ministry. Okay, so I asked each sister on the land to answer the following question, and I'm going to read their answers for you. I want you to understand the simple things that you should require of yourself when claiming Straightway's title or claiming to be a part of us. You should not fall prey to anyone who's claiming Straightway's title when they're not living half of the life or performing half of what we perform. You should not fall prey to that, okay? So don't take offense to the word claim, because I claim to be a part of Straightway too. And there are great expectations of me, just like there are expectations of you. So no offense, just remove that all out of the way. Yes, I claim Straightway's title. There should be no fear in that statement. So the same expectations are for you, for me, right? So that if I lack, you may have abundance, or if you lack, I may have abundance. Remember, Paul says this is equality. So here's the question. If a sister says that she is part of Straightway, what do you expect from her? All right, I'm going to read it one more time, because remember, I pass this question to every single sister that's living on this land, whether she be here for a year or all the way up to Mother Carol's 20 years of experience. If a sister, any of you out there, claims to be a part of us and claims Straightway's title, What do you expect from this sister? Good question. Say hallelujah in the chat room if you're ready and if you're interested. This
hallelujah.
Sister, hallelujah. This sister responds, in love to my sisters, I write the expectations that I apply to myself. Quote, to do right, to love loving commitment, and to walk humbly with your Elohim, Micah 6:8. And this claim to be Yah's disciple is acknowledged by Christ and seen in the fruit displayed daily in your life. Enlightened walk, example, guided by the Holy Spirit and honoring to the Father Yah. She continues, I expect her, this is you, every one of you out there has this expectation. Well, who are you to tell me that another sister expects anything from me, right? Remember, these are just women of experience. They're not the Father's measurement or expectation, okay? So receive it with humility. This is just their thoughts. I expect her to love Christ. I expect her to have an overwhelming, grateful heart for his sacrifice and an enthusiastic work dedication to his mission. She must be obedient, faithful, perseverant, loving, humble, surrender all, and bear her stake gladly. That's a high calling for you out there. You want to claim the title? You want to gather together in Straightway's name? You're going to hear some of the expectations, Daughters of Zion, of what you should bear. And some of you bear this witness, which is beautiful. I got Sister Jordan in here handing me the cards. Thank you so much. Next one, remember the question. If a sister considers herself a part of this ministry, what do we expect? This sister says, I believe she should desire her character and behavior to be similar to the sisters that are set apart in mind and function. They must love obedience, righteousness, humility, truth, serving, holiness, etc. They must be a true friend and show themselves friendly. Sisters must be open to communication. I believe this can help answer questions or concerns that she may have coming to a set-apart assembly. Two very good responses so far. Jennifer, what say you?
You know, the key word that I heard in there was fruit, and that's a great answer, but not expecting the fruit that is shown above themselves. And it is a high calling, but it is attainable because it's actually being done.
Absolutely being done. Very good. So the next sister, remember the question. If a sister says that she's part of Straightway, if you claim our title out there, listening audience, what do the sisters here expect of you? The sister writes, we equal Straightway ministry. We should have the same mind, behavior, goals, and desires. You should. That's her expectation. You should have the same mind, behavior, goals, and desires as Straightway Ministry does. You should not live a double standard when you're here versus out there. You should not. And that being particular for the sisters and the wives that are closer to us, you know, in particular. You know this, right? So it shouldn't be hard to hear it. If you're living uprightly in your homes, then hallelujah, you're measuring up. But you shouldn't live a double standard when you're here versus out there where you are. And she ends it with, you should be a direct reflection of Straightway Ministries all the time because it should be in your heart to do so. All right? Let me get the next one. What do I expect from sisters who claim they are with the Straightway Ministry? Well, the expectation would differ due to the individual spiritual level. That's a good answer. So it is challenging to expect all the sisters to do the same thing. So she sounds like she wants to answer very concretely, okay? She says, I would think that the sister should be listening to Pastor Dal's Sabbath service, YouTube, elders teaching, scripture studies, sisters broadcast, as their master allows them to listen. And that is the least that I would expect of them all. Now, when she handed me this, she reiterated that it doesn't mean that you're driven to listen to the Sabbath services and YouTubes and the elders' teaching, scripture studies, and all these things. Like, you have to listen to them all day and study all day and pray all day and fast all day. And that's not what we do. We're a working ministry. Okay, so you should be in tune with what's happening and allowing these things to come to fruition in your life where you are. And that is the least, she says, that she would expect of each of you. All right, so hallelujah for that. And we're going to the next one. If someone says, a sister says, that they are a part of Straightway, what do I expect of her? She says, what does it mean to be, quote, a part? And she gave the dictionary word for part. It means portion, equal portion, or important element of something. That's interesting, right? So she also gave the dictionary word for expect, because it's her, it's she that is expecting of you. All right, so for the word expect, it would mean to imagine, to suppose, to guess, to think. So she's verbalizing what she's waiting for. Expect also meaning to anticipate, to look forward to look ahead and hope for. So she's actually even stating this in mercy, because none of this is coming forth critically by any means. None of it is coming with a critical eye or judgmentalism. It's just a requirement. That's what she says. What's the expectation, a requirement, a demand, anticipation? All right, so let me get to her answer after she gave the definition. She says, I would expect that a sister be modest in dress, as she would be able to see the sisters that she says she is a part of in the videos. She could see them on the online services. And if you visit, you would see that the sisters are modest. She may not know how to carry herself as a sister, as a wife, or as a mother. So therefore, I bring my next point. You need to have a teachable spirit. It is a must for you all. It's a spirit of humility and the only way that one can grow in this walk. Yah will resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And with that said, I make my next point, she says. I expect those sisters that say that they are a part of Straightway to be servants. It is our example from our Savior. If you have visited here, truly, you have seen our example of love for the brethren, whereby we lay our lives down for you. Are you willing to follow and be a part of us and lay your life down for your brother or your sister? She makes a good point next. Many are not willing to give up Christianity. Perhaps they don't see things. But is there a teachable spirit? Many are not willing to give up anything or really count the cost. There is, she ends, a cost to walk this way. Few are willing to pay. Jennifer?
You know, I really like the first statement, we equal Straightway ministry. So in other words, assimilation, you know, and also pointing out the fact that your double standard will be exposed, because there's many people that have who have passed through the ministry before. And so it's easy to recognize when you behave a certain way in front of others. And then when you're at home, you're totally different. So the hypocrisy is easy to point out and to recognize. And I also like the fact that there's patience and understanding that growth will take time, but you don't have an excuse to be stagnant. So change really should be seen. And also, you should represent something that a younger sister or daughter of Zion can look forward to. So I'm glad that the definitions were actually pointed out there, because when you put it all together, you should represent something that a younger sister or a daughter of Zion can look forward to.
Hallelujah. This one is similar to the other one. As you can tell, we're all in one mind and one spirit. Many coming this way are not wanting to die to themselves, and they expect others to put up with them. Many coming are not willing to give up anything or everything. There's a cost to walk this way. We are discerning people. We see, we hear, we understand. We're merciful, but we know. Okay? So, I expect a teachable spirit, if they desire, to grow with us in this faith. All right, let's jump to the next one. She says, good morning, neighbor. She's writing to me. Hold on. I want to put this one aside for last. Yes.
Okay.
And what to expect from sisters that are part of the Straightway Ministry. This is another one. She says, expectations would be seeking and striving to follow Yah's ways. This is what you should be doing. Striving for righteousness. Doing the works of Yah. An example would be deliverance. She should be submitting and obeying those who are in leadership, in a position of leadership. Also, she puts not eating off of other ministry plates. An example would be other doctrines. So that is a universal here at Straightway expectation, okay, that you not eat off of other ministry plates. We don't, you shouldn't, period, okay? So back to her, she says, fellowship with the saints. That's what she expects out of you. If you're close enough, you should be making a way out of no way to get to somebody somewhere that's going to help you. I keep adding to hers, don't I? So she says she expects servitude and helping one another. That's what this sister expects out of you. You should serve and help one another. You should admonish one another. And you should be behaving modestly and staying humble. All right? Let's go to you, Jennifer, before I move on. That was a good one. What say you?
Yes, it was very good. What stands out is, you know, the teachable spirit. And we need to understand that the sisters who live on the land, they came to the ministry knowing nothing, just like us all. But they were able to be taught. They were willing to be taught. And so that's why they can make these statements now, because they've actually walked through the changing of the mind, the assimilation. And if you don't have your mind in the right place, you might think these statements are haughty or accusing, but they're actually not. They've been exactly where you started at. So, you know, really have a teachable spirit.
Hallelujah. All right. The next answer, she first states, first expecting this of myself. That's a good point, because I believe every sister on this land that answered has given the expectations of themselves first. Okay. So first expecting this of myself. If a sister claims Straightway, what do you expect out of her? She says to love the brethren and the sisterhood, to be striving for righteousness, to put other saints before yourself, to be discipled, to learn, not to love the world, have the heart of a servant. You should partake in spiritual warfare. You should live by example, and you should have 100% commitment and full support of our pastor. Very, very good. Here's another one. I expect immediate modesty because the truth has now been visualized, and in seeing it, all excuses are removed. I expect drastic behavior changes. Family ties will be broken. I expect her to pray for Pastor. I expect her to begin to overcome selfishness and her emotions. I expect her to join us in our goal towards unity and disconnect completely from this world. Fear Yah, keep his commandments, and die daily. Only two left. Jennifer, anything?
You know, that was very good and concrete. Just simply spells out the role of a woman, and that's all I have to add about that.
Hallelujah. All right, if someone says they are a part of Straightway, a sister, right, says that she's a part of Straightway, here's the next one. I would expect her to be just as righteous and holy that she expects out of us here at Straightway. Powerful point. I expect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, and self-control. If they are not these, then I expect them to be striving to be all of these. I expect them to be 100% behind Pastor Dow, because he is who Yah has chosen to be, our Jeremiah 3:15 pastor and our leader, and I expect for them to pray, read, study, and to continually seek the Father and have a relationship with him to better themselves for the kingdom. That's a good one. Jennifer, what say you?
Absolutely. Again, spells out the fruit that we should be walking out daily and that we should be striving for. And if your mind is contrary, you will listen to these words and you won't be able to receive them. You won't be teachable. So really listen to these words from a pure, pure heart.
That's right. Let's go ahead and open the phone lines. I have one left to read. 310-982-4226. And I have a different guest call-in number tonight. This is new for me. I'm going to give it to you just in case, okay? 515-602-9654. If you need to call in, if you need to share something, say something, testify, not keeping the saints too long or the sisters listening too long, 515-602-9654. Interesting. Different number tonight. We'll see. All right. I have Mother Carol's last. Don't we want to hear from our mother? Absolutely. What say you, Mother Carol? What's your expectations of the Daughters of Zion for someone who is claiming the title of Straightway? And she says, I expect for sisters to love Yah first, honor and respect their husbands and each other. I expect them to be honest, sincere, and righteous in their dealings. I expect them to have the Ruach or be seeking for it if they don't have it. And she's speaking of the Holy Spirit. She says, I expect them to maintain their individual personalities while still being meek. All this I expect first of myself before others. 515-602-9654. No callers in the queue. Sister Jennifer, anything from or to add to what Mother Carol has said? If not, or if no calls, we can end this show. What say you?
Wisdom has spoken. Nothing more that I can add. Very sound words, as always. And Daughters of Zion, go back and listen to the marriage videos and, you know, the video that Mother Carol and Pastor, that Pastor and Mother Carol put out together. Very sound words. She's a mirror of Pastor Dow. That is a fully assimilated woman. So if you want to know what that looks like, what it sounds like, go back and listen to those videos.
Hallelujah. No callers in the queue. I pray that you were edified by tonight's show. It was a different route. Interestingly enough, I was thinking, you know what? I didn't have any ideas in my mind for the show. And at first, Sister Jennifer and I, when we touched base, she didn't have them either. But I thought, you know, let's talk about Jezebel. That never gets old. Reason being, the angle that I wanted to speak about Jezebel is completely different from anything you've ever heard, at least from our show, so it's not going to get old or boring. Plus, I know so many of you are trying to truly conquer her and, you know, come against that nature with force and change your lives. Thereby, Yahweh receives all glory for the changes you've made. But as it got closer, and as I spoke with Sister Jennifer in regards to some of the things that Elder Rufus had shared with her about others potentially claiming our title. I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm just saying my idea and opinions of after our speech. People claiming our title, claiming to be of us, you need to operate in a manner like us or remove the title. Keep yourself separate. When you receive people into your home to watch a fellowship or to watch a Sabbath service, you should carry yourself and have your behavior that you would have when you come here. You know, you should be practicing discipline with your children for their soul's sake, not because for your own emotions or just so you can hear better or hear the word and not miss anything. The more you work with your children, half the time you miss more anyway. Sometimes you can miss more of the word working with your child than just simply avoiding them and allowing them to cut up. So with all that said, this came about from some ideas that, Elder Rufus, and I appreciate that, just a little tidbit that Sister Jennifer had shared with me, because the show kind of, you know, it came about from some of his meditations. But if you want to go ahead, Sister Jennifer, let's end the show with any of your thoughts on that end note or some of the words from our elder.
Yes, ma'am. The number one thing that he wanted to stress was order. You know, if we follow the order that has been put before us through Straightway, then we can't go wrong. But he said it's all about order, and that is what we need more of as a whole. We need more order. So that's all I wanted to say.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.